We've been to the top, we've been to the bottom. We've known everything and forgotten, yeah. You've kicked me around, you've wrapped me in.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
You've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of our podcast listeners. However you decided to spend this hour with us, we're glad to have you. I'm Caroline McGillivray. I'm solo tonight as Julie has been dragged away by the Christmas elves, but I do have Danny Six with me, which if you do remember, he is our relationship expert and dating expert. Welcome, Mr. Danny Six.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
I think there's a lot of changes in everybody's lives, especially cool. Mine these days, hey?
So what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we're going to be talking about all sorts of things, but I wanted to start off talking about what I'm wearing. It's that time of year.
Sexy, not naughty Santa.
Pretty much. I think sexy, naughty Santa is something that a lot of women want to do this year. So I think I look pretty cute. What do you think?
Yeah, I was at this show in San Francisco. This mm-hmm. is during Halloween. It was really funny. I'm not sure if I told you about this, the Santa guy. And it was so funny because he was really, really tripping out, and everybody was around this guy the whole mm-hmm. time. And what happened was he had this huge throne that he was carrying around this party, and he was just rolling it around. He's in this Santa outfit. And I looked at it, and I said to my friend that I was with, I was like, geez, hey, you know what? We should follow this guy for a little bit and figure out what he's doing. Sure enough, what he would do is he'd roll this throne up, mm-hmm. drop it in front of a group of girls,
yes,
especially pretty ones, and say,
want to sit on my lap and tell me what you want for
exactly,
Christmas?
Exactly. And it was classic. I mean, it worked every single time. The girls loved them. You got pictures and a couple other things, and it was just great. So you're kind of taking me back to that night.
I like that. Yeah. There was actually at the Sweet Soul Burlesque Party on Saturday night. There was they actually had a Santa Claus, and he asked what you wanted for Christmas and if you'd been a good girl or if you'd been a naughty girl.
Well, I know what the answer is with you, so just skip that.
Well, anyway, I ended up getting a Sweet Soul t-shirt, actually, which they do have their own clothing line as well. So that was quite lovely.
That was reserved for naughty girls.
It was reserved for naughty but nice girls. As I've said before, it depends on what your definition of naughty or nice is and whether or not you deserve a piece of coal.
Different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. But here I am. I'm all adorned, all sexy and hot. I'm wearing thigh-high boots, red stockings. I've even got garters on tonight and a little sexy Santa dress. And I did have gloves on earlier. And I had a hat, which I still have on, that the little bit of it at the very end with the little fluffy thing, that would probably feel really good. Does this feel good, Dan?
This is very risque.
Is it very risque?
Feels good. Why are you stopping?
Because we're on air and we don't want to get in trouble and get the show canceled. But with that, there's a lot of really great outfits. I got this one at Levian Rose, but there's so many other ones. Dare to Wear has got some fantastic stuff.
I love that place.
Really? You are all for all the lingerie and things like that and girls dressing up as sexy Santas this season?
Guys got to buy for the girls. You got to do it. Even if it's the wrong size, it doesn't matter. You have it. It's nicely packaged. Nice red box with a bow on it. Hey, sets the tone for the evening.
It definitely sets the tone. And even if you don't have a sweetheart, well, hopefully you can wear one of these outfits, find a little bit of mistletoe, find somebody and drag him under there. What do you say to that, Danny?
That sounds very, very nice.
I think so, too. So maybe if you're out there, guys, and some girl all of a sudden grabs you and rips you under the mistletoe and starts kissing you really hardcore and she's wearing a sexy Santa outfit, she's been listening to our show and hopefully learned a thing or two about just being really grabby and grabbing that man. Sometimes it's really hard, though, in terms of Christmas, because, I mean, it is that kind of time of year where people want to get together. They want to snuggle. There's the watching It's a Wonderful Life in front of the telly. There's just those nice, cozy moments, having hot chocolate, you know, going for ice skating, all those wonderful things. But there's other times where it's a really good time to reexamine things that are going on in your life. And perhaps, even though breaking up is hard to do, perhaps that's the best Christmas gift to give to yourself and your partner.
Well put. So what's it like for Christmas for women?
In general?
Being single.
Yeah. Being single, it's like being Bridget Jones' Diary. That's perfect dichotomy of singledom.
Do explain for the listeners that don't know who...
Who Bridget Jones' Diary is?
Exactly.
Bridget Jones, if you ever get a chance to read Helen Fielding's book, or better yet, the movie with, what's her name, Renee Zellweger and Colin Firth, who I'm truly, madly, deeply in love with, is a story about a woman who is in her 30s, and it's a British movie, so it's got that lovely British humor going on there.
Dry wit. It's good.
Where she's single. And all she wants is a boyfriend, and it goes back and forth from battling between her weight to trying to find somebody and not going out with workaholics, alcoholics, emotional fuckwits, etc. Yeah. And especially men who embodies all these things, which turns out to be Hugh Grant in the movie. And so she's single, going to dinner parties where there's all these couples, these smug married couples, as she puts it, where everybody's asking, so where's your boyfriend? How come you don't have a boyfriend? When are you going to have a boyfriend? So sometimes being single at Christmas is a little bit like that.
I think it's a little harder for women than it is men.
I think it's hard for anybody who's alone. And I think it's just the way we've been brought up in terms of our North American culture, where being with people at Christmas time or being without people, it can be a really lonely time for a lot of people. Apparently there's more suicides. I forgot to check the stats on that before we started our show tonight at Christmas time. And I don't think it's just because they haven't found somebody to love, but I think it's just family. We kind of have that whole feel-good Christmas thing that's supposed to happen whether or not whatever religion you are. And it's that thing that we're all always looking for love, whether it be through like your grandparents, whether it's through your family, sisters, brothers, friends, whatever. And a lot of people feel really lonely at this time of year. So sometimes we tend to stick with people that may not be the best people for us. And that's part of what tonight's show is about. So we're going to be talking about breaking up and why sometimes it's not the best time to stick with people, even if you want to. And sometimes loneliness is not the best reason, even though it's the holidays, to stay with somebody. It's best just to take a break, re-examine what you want, and sometimes that can be the best Christmas present you're giving to them and to yourself. So if you want to contribute to this conversation tonight, you can give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So, Dan, what's the hardest breakup you've had? And have you ever stayed with somebody even though it's a holiday?
Yes, and no.
Okay, describe.
Well, I don't get too caught up with like whether I'm in a relationship or not in a relationship during the holidays. Mm-hmm. I don't like suddenly freak out because it's Valentine's Day. And, you know, think about Easter and then think about, oh my gosh, I got to go with somebody to Halloween or Christmas or anything else like that. I don't program myself that way, mm-hmm. but I know a lot of people do. So for myself, speaking from my own experiences, it's never been a major issue for me. However, breaking up can be very, very tough. It can be very, very tough. One of the main reasons breaking up is tough, I think, for people is because they are really caught up with the fantasy of the person. And it's really the fantasy that's really the pain. It's okay. The belief. It's not actually the relationship. It's the dreams that they had with that person. And it's the belief that they had about that person, which is very, very tough to break.
That's true.
They're in love with the fantasy of the person and not so much in love with the person.
Actually, Harville Hendricks, actually, in How to Get the Love You Want, he's one of the relationship gurus. It'd be great to have him on the show. Yeah. His stuff is mainly geared towards, he's a counselor for married couples. And what he recommends, oh, I think we've got a caller. Let's see if I can actually answer this without losing them. Go ahead, you're on air. Welcome to Juice Box. Oh, maybe I don't have them here.
Oh, we got to answer it.
Oh, do we have to answer it? Hi, now you're on Juice Box.
Pardon?
Oh, what? Can you talk, say a little bit louder?
Okay, you know who the most repressed person on earth is?
Who?
It's Santa Claus. He comes once a year. You know who the most perverted person on earth is? It's Santa Claus. He likes to come down chimneys. That's it. That's my best joke.
Okay, thank you, Carler.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, that was really interesting.
I've got sort of a more
non-erotic
Christmas joke. Do you want to hear it?
One more quick joke, and then let's get back to the breaking
up. Okay, cool,
sure. That's
what our show's
on tonight.
There's these two snowmen, and they're looking at each other, and one of them goes, "Hey, smells like carrots." You didn't.
Oh. Okay. Oh, well.
Okay, that.
That's okay.
Radio silence. It's all good.
Radio silence, I know. Before a caller called in, I was talking about Harville Hendricks and what a great relationship guru he is. I'd recommend to everybody out there, get his library app. Put that on your Christmas wish list. And it's got some great things, whether or not you're in a relationship or you want to be in a relationship. How to Get the Love You Want is a really great book. It's got a lot of things, which we'll talk about in the next bit, in terms of what you want. And one of the things he does touch on is that fantasy where you see somebody, he's got another word to describe it, which I can't remember at the top of my head at this very moment. But when you meet somebody, there's reasons that we're attracted to them. Usually it's because of the fact that there's something about them that reminds us of something that we're missing in our life. And so we paint this image of them of perfect person, which they're never going to end up measuring up to, which isn't really fair. And yet they do the same to us, which is why that honeymoon period, everything kind of fits into it, because then we try and make everything fit into that image, which is why a lot of people say the first couple months of a relationship, it's the honeymoon period. It's the best period of the entire thing. After that period's over, we start getting angry. We start getting dissatisfied with the relationship because we're finally getting to know who that human being is besides just the fantasy. Mm-hmm. And usually in those first 3 months, I know myself, I've had a lot of conversations with people naming children that, you know, I may not ever have with those people, planning a wedding, you know, thinking about where we want to go for a honeymoon, different sexual things that I might want to do with them. I know I've done all that before. You've probably done similar things, Dan.
Well, I try to stay in the moment and in the present, but I will say this. When you're like really, really into somebody, like, mm-hmm. and you really like them and you can't like function properly because you're thinking about them, like they really mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't function as a human being on a daily basis, like regular things. You're at work, you can't deal. That's a whole other kind of thing. And it's been a long time since I've been involved in that kind of situation, or at least I kind of try to avoid those situations.
Well,
I try to date girls that I'm not as into as much as they are into me. And I'm sure I've caused a couple
heartbreaks.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why would you do that? Is there self-preservation?
You know, it's kind of fun getting lost in a relationship, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, I just, it just does that whole idea of getting totally lost in a relationship doesn't appeal to me. So,
well, I think one of the things that might help in terms of breaking up and hurting people, both us getting hurt involved, because by setting boundaries for ourselves, which I think is really important, deciding what you want in a relationship and really examining self first. Harville's got some really great exercises in his book in terms of how to actually establish in terms of who you are, what you want out of a relationship, which I think, Dan, we're going to talk a little bit more about in the second half, right, with criteria. In terms of figuring out what you want, because if you know what you want when you go in there, and there's a fine line between compromise and giving up who you are and what you really want, and, you know, it's a fine line between being a doormat and actually having boundaries in terms of not letting somebody do certain things.
Yeah, well, if you don't stand for anything, you won't end up standing at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you may as well take a seat. And that's the whole thing. It's just being assertive and, most importantly, think of yourself as a ship that's at sea, and you've got to, you know, figure out what you're going to stock for supplies. So figure out your course, where you're going to land, all these different things. And if you have a really, really well-planned idea and a concept over what this person is, who they are, and what you're looking for, right down to where you're going to find them, how they dress, what they do, all these different things, the more detailed it is, the better you're going to be prepared overall to deal with that person and meet them and find them. You know, so many people I look at, they're just adrift at sea. They're not thinking. They haven't put any time or effort into actually finding that person that they want. They just go out and they're like, oh, well, I'm just going to meet things. And they have random encounters with random people and random situations. And it turns into a random experience. Mm-hmm. And some people, like I actually don't mind that. It's kind of like a new adventure. However, if you actually want to settle down with someone and you want to find somebody that's real and you're playing for keeps, you better play for keeps then. That means, you know, you're putting your chips on the table. You've really got to look deeper beyond looks. You got to look at the person's character. You know, you got to look at all these
value
different
systems.
Things. Yeah. Trust this person? Would you want to trust them? You know, is that person going to be around? Can you see yourself with them at 50?
I almost think with relationships, it's actually a really good idea for a lot of religious organizations, especially the church. Before somebody gets married and they allow somebody to get married in their church, a lot of the pastors make them take a almost like a relationship counseling before they even get married. So they establish things like, do we want to have kids? In terms of banking, do we want to have one bank account, his or his, hers, and mutual, like where everybody's sharing? What do we want to do to make sure everybody's kind of on the same page about basic fundamental things? People break up. So many couples break up over money. They break up over sex. But money is one of the number one reasons why people break up. And with so many marriages and ending up in divorce, or a lot of people even not making it to the altar, it's a good idea to re-examine that. And some of that stuff, there's no reason why not to start that right from the get-go in terms of really asking the right questions right from the get-go as you're getting to know somebody. Like, are they somebody who's a paycheck-to-paycheck person? Or are they somebody who's really obsessive about saving every penny where one person may think that they're really super-duper cheap because they'd rather, buy an entertainment book and every time you go out for a meal, it's using one of those entertainment coupons, or only going out with relatives so you're getting a free meal, or, you know, spending every last, you know, penny on like a really nice dinner, like 3 or 4 times a week. You know, it's like, are your value systems the same? You know, what type of friends, do your friends like them? Do you like their friends? Is there a nice meshing where the friends, you can see them in terms of a group? And sometimes, even though I think you should trust your own judgment, I do recommend in terms of looking at, listening to your friends, because a lot of times your friends are right. I've had friends of mine, the present company included, Mr. Dan, telling me about certain relationships where they took one look at somebody I've been dating and knew, and they're just like, you know, like even yourself, not that long ago, you were telling me you should break up with so-and-so because it's just not a healthy thing for you. You're not yourself, Caroline. You look really miserable. And even though I wasn't ready to listen at the time, I realized you're right. And sometimes it is really good to examine what your friends say.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're going to take take what they're going to do and follow everything, but take it into consideration, because usually your friends are people that you do respect. And I'm not talking about a high school thing where it's like, oh, my friends don't like him because he's not cool, like in Valley Girl or one of those movies from the 80s where, you know, he's the guy from the wrong side of the tracks. But perhaps there is some value to that. And if you value your friend's opinion, it's good to listen to it and then reexamine, why are you with this person? What are you getting out of this relationship? How much are you putting in, and actually perhaps putting it down on a piece of paper where it's like, these are the things I'm doing, these are the things that they're doing, and also reexamining in terms of how are they giving. There's so many different ways of love. There's a great book called Five Ways of Loving, and one of them, for example, is to some people the way they show love is things like taking the garbage out, making dinner once in a while, so it's acts of service. Where some people it's acts of romance, where it's you know, going out and buying like a really expensive ring for them, or, you know, all sorts of things, but yet they don't touch any of the household things. So it's a matter of finding out what represents love to you, and usually that's based on how you were brought up.
Yeah, I was talking to my sister about that, actually. It's a it's a very, very cool book. Mm-hmm. And there's a primary and a secondary trait that you have. So if you find out what that trait is in the person, that really helps you, give you some indicators as to how you can get closer with them. I think, you know, a lot of it, for me, has been about, through personal experience, just, you know, maybe dating a beautiful woman. And if she was a beautiful woman, I'd accept her, because she was a beautiful woman, I didn't really care. So I'd accept all the things that would come along, all the problems, the headaches, the dramas, if you know, everything that the bad personalities, bad attitude, irresponsibility, I mean, and just, you know, fill in the blanks about what that is. And now it's at a point where that doesn't appeal to me, and because there's deal killers for me, like, you know, drugs, you know, alcoholism, like, I wouldn't even give that person a hello or even a goodbye. They wouldn't even register. So it's things. And that's my personal viewpoint. It's not everybody's, but the thing to take out of it is to develop a list of do's and don'ts, like things that you are looking for. Mm-hmm. But also, when you encounter those things that are deal killers, it's not to put out to the universe that, like, oh, I don't want like a loser and a jerk and a prick and all these different things, and he's got to be like this and blah, 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 blah. I mean, have some flexibility, but on the things that are absolute deal killers that are completely against your morals and your values, you have to take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's more important. You and I spoke before about values, and I remember I asked you, I said, well, what's your criteria? What are you looking for? And you listed seven things when you said this.
I should have written down.
The last of which was looks. And it was really funny because I said to you on the same radio show, would you date a man seriously and consider getting married and all this stuff if he was perfect except for the looks? And you said no. And it's really funny, actually, but if you do an experiment for yourself, you don't have to go crazy, but if you date somebody that maybe isn't hitting the red, you know, hitting your mark in terms of looks, but they've got a lot of positive traits that you like, try looking at that. You're giving me a hand signal.
I am giving you a hand signal. I went at a point in there. I think looks are very important. They're not everything, but there have been studies done in terms of with genetics, where if you don't find somebody attractive, it's usually because you're not going to create a really, really good child, actually. Just your genetic pool is not going to work well together. It's one of the reasons why you find some people attractive. And what I think is good looking is going to be different than what you think is good looking. And of course, I don't find women attractive, so that might be something right there. Well, other than to say she's a beautiful woman, but I don't find women attractive enough that I'd want to sleep with them. Even though I think there's some amazing, wonderful women out there, it's I tend to like the men. Cool. I really do. So we will never be competing for the same person, Dan, unless you decide to go after men, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon.
Dating market, watch out. Dan and Caroline are on the prowl.
You can be my wing, baby. One of the things I did want to touch on, though, is if you were going to break up with somebody, and it is that season, how would you recommend breaking up with somebody? I think there's a few top tips. I know there's some great songs like How to Leave Your 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover from Simon and Garfunkel and all sorts of wonderful things like that. But there's some really good ways and some really not so great ways. What would you recommend, Mr. Dan?
Oh, great. Put me on the hot seat. Great.
Do you want me to go first then?
No, I can handle this.
All right.
I can handle this action. So I've done it both ways. The thing that people want, a bad way to do it is just to disappear or not say anything, like a thief in the night. And you're gone, never to be heard from again. And the person tries to contact you and they have questions.
So no closure, in other words. It's important to get closure.
Yeah, and it's really tough. I've been on both sides of that, and that's a real tough scenario to put somebody through, especially if you care about them.
Mm-hmm. A lot of women are guilty humane, about that.
Yeah, more humane ways of doing things is to... Some people like and insist on meeting face-to-face. It's very honorable to do that. However, you could be... putting yourself maybe either at risk or dealing with the drama. So you have to really weigh out what type of person you're meeting with and whether they're basically stable enough to meet with them on that level. I have done that before. It's worked out well if the person is mature and an adult about it. The other way you can do it is obviously over the telephone, which I've seen it's kind of flaky. It's not really... fun, and it kind of leaves a lot of it's very, very informal, especially if you care about the person. And then I've seen it done via email.
I've had
that happen to me via email.
Oh, darling.
And it was open-ended. And you know, the funny thing is, whoever is on the receiving end of that information has questions.
Yes.
So there's the breakup person, and there's the breakup-y, the person that actually had the breakup happen to them.
And with email, and you don't get even the tone of voice. You don't even get that tone of voice. At least with the phone, you actually get to hear it in their voice, how they're feeling. I'm not a huge fan in terms of, I think you should break up with people and face to face. I'm not always the best at it, and I have broken up with people on the phone before. Just where, A, like you were saying, sometimes it's not the safest thing. Other times, because I'm a little too honest, and once I really think something, it's easier for me just to do it right then and there because
short
I can't
sweet.
Wait.
Yeah. Keep it short. Keep it sweet. They'll ask you 100 questions. Why? What happened? What's wrong? You know, like, it's really beyond that. You have to look at presenting a certain amount of information so that they understand that you have moved on.
You don't want to break them.
But... Exactly. You have to be compassionate to the person and in such a way that you present the information and they can deal with it. If you have some suggestions, I find letters are really, really good. It's a very,
really?
Very nice way. Yeah, absolutely. Letters to me represent a very...
A Dear John letter.
Yeah. Like that's actually, I think, a very classy way of doing it also. And that can be done because the person can reference it, they have it, and they can do, like, there's love letters and there's breakup letters.
Perhaps that's why I like on the phone, because I can write down everything that I want to say, so I can make my points, I can look at it. I'm very organized. I'm a little obsessive. I think it's because Julia is right on the cusp of being a Virgo and a Leo, and I've picked up a few things from her over my lifetime of being friends
with her. The stars are watching.
It is. It makes a huge difference, but then I can reference things, so I can actually tell them this has worked, I like this, but the reason why it's not healthy, or these are the reasons why I don't think it's a good fit with us. And in reality, I know none of us want to, going back to the point that you're making in terms of people leaving and try not to say anything. We try and do that because we don't want to hurt the other person, but it ends up being way more traumatizing in the end, because as you're saying, there's way more questions. That sometimes the kindest thing is being really direct with somebody. I'm not saying, oh, I'm breaking up with you because I think you're ugly and you're a loser and all that stuff, but just that I really care about you and I want you to find somebody who's a better fit with you, and we're not a good fit together. And you're being beneficial for them, not wasting their time.
Yeah.
And I know myself, I've stayed in relationships for way longer than I should sometimes. Sex horniness does happen, but it's not just that. Sometimes I think it's because I was raised not to be a quitter. And a lot of people are like that, where I try everything I can to try and make that relationship work.
Women weren't committed.
Not necessarily. There's a lot of women I know that cheat and lie and break just as many hearts as guys do. So I think it falls on both sides of the sexes. But I think part of it is just not having proper criteria and talking to the other partner and seeing what is their criteria. Dan, you're saying one of your friends actually at the very beginning of a relationship actually states what she wants. I know I tend to do that, where I kind of scare guys sometimes, where I tell them I'm ready to get married and have children.
Yeah, but that's... there's nothing wrong with that because you're putting it out on the table and you're basically saying,
this is where I'm at right now and this is what I want.
It's a declaration, and if the person is still talking to you, away you go. And I'll share a really funny story with you about that.
Yes, please, darling, and then we'll go for
it. So this gentleman worked in a car sales lot, and it was really interesting because they didn't sell any vehicles under $4,000. And this guy came by the car lot and he said, look, I'm looking for a car. He says, oh, yeah, that's no problem and stuff. How much do you want to spend? Because I can show you all different types. The guy goes, well, I only have $2,000 to spend. He goes, that's what I'd ideally like to spend on my budget. And the guy goes, well, we only have $4,000 cars here. So right away, if the guy, and it's a test basically, and right away, if the guy stays, he's into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's curious, he's interested, and he's there. So it's a good way. I mean, you have to weed out the people. It can be a little brutal. And, you know, different people have different methods, but it's always good to figure out who is a contender and who's not and do that quickly.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Mr. Danny Six. And we're going to be back after this break. It's Caroline McGillivray on Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM. And I just got to get the song to play and I will be very happy. Happy, happy, happy. Happy joy, joy. Caroline is having technical difficulties right now. Dan's looking at the Kim equipment here. And the song is by the Ex-Boyfriends. And it's called Coming Before the Next Ones. And, here we go.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're back with Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM. It's Caroline McGillivray here on Juicebox with Danny Six.
Hey.
And tonight we are talking about breaking up is hard to do and how to come up with a criteria list. So then that way you can figure out what you want, and then that way you don't have to waste time with what you don't want. So then that way you don't have to break up with anybody at all if you know what you want right from the get-go and how to get it. So how do we start off with that? First of all, I think we start off with figuring out who we are, don't we?
Yeah, who you are, I think it's the five W's. Let's just go right back to like elementary school here. And
the who, what, where, why?
High school, yeah, exactly. Who, where, when, what, how, why, and how. And just dial it in and figure out what that is.
And how do people do that? Because a lot of people are really hard at soul searching.
Do it with a friend. It's somebody that knows you and just go, what kind of people do I like? Because the thing is, and there's a really interesting exercise that I do. It's called Your Heart is Window. And it's four questions for yourself. And it's really, really interesting. And I ask people this from time to time when I'm out. And I'll say, number one, how do you see yourself?
And what do they say?
And then number two is, how would you like to see yourself? Question number three is, how do people see you?
Okay.
And how would you, and then the fourth question is, how would you like people to see you? So what it does is the first two questions are more internal based.
Mm-hmm.
So about you personally, and then your own perspective. And then the second part, two questions, is about how other people perceive you and how you'd like to be seen. So it's one's internal, one's external.
Okay.
So it's a really nice way of doing it. And it at least gives you a reference point, like a snapshot of where you're at right now.
So maybe we should get a caller to call in. Callers, give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR if you want us to do your this is going to be a free service tonight, even though we charge for it normally, don't we, Danny Boy?
Yeah, it's three questions, and you have to give – sorry, it's four questions, and you have to give at least three adjectives, you know, per question. And it, you know what? It takes a little bit of time. We can take a call, but it can get a little
How
cumbersome.
Long do you think it would take just for that first question?
Oh, you know, if people are thinking, it's best if they just give an immediate answer because it's like they can rock through it. But that's a good way to start. There's all kinds of little games that you can play like that. But so if you write out a list of likes and dislikes in terms of the person, and, you know, like I've met a lot of people, and I remember this one conference I went to in Los Angeles last year, and there's a lady sitting beside me. And we got to be really good friends, and she wasn't like a 9 or 10 on the look scale. She's more, you know, she was an attractive lady, but we developed a really nice friendship. And what we came out of it with was the fact that she really liked guys that are out of her league. She's like, oh, I really like this kind of a guy, but he's always dating the models and everything else like that. But I don't want to settle for anybody that's less than him. And, you know, it's just kind of like you got to be realistic.
Well, the question I have for you is, were they really out of her league, or does she just have low self-esteem? So basically she doesn't really think that she's going to ever get anybody. So she automatically tends to pick guys who are never going to be interested in her.
Wow, I don't know about that. But
because I know there are some women out there that do pick guys that are either totally below them because they don't think they're worthy and then nobody else is going to look at them, or it's the other way around where it almost reaffirms that they're going to always be alone for the rest of their life because deep down they don't believe that they're worthy of a relationship.
I've heard of that, you know, and I'm definitely not a woman, but from a female perspective, I have heard that they don't feel worthy.
What about a male perspective? Like guys who always want to date models or strippers, you know, or in terms of like that. Or guys who may not always date the coolest girls. Like I've seen some really good-looking guys sometimes, and there was some girl who isn't always the nicest girl, and she treats them absolutely dreadfully. And that I've seen that often where I sit there and I wonder, that guy's such a nice guy. What in the world is he doing with a girl like that who's treating him so poorly? And I mean, that could go the other way around too, where there's some great gals that, Dan, you probably see sometimes we're out and it's like, man, she's a really cool chick. Why is she with the guy who is so disrespectful towards her?
It's exciting. They feel like they're living. They feel life. They feel passionate. Somebody it's somebody who gets their blood going. And you know, that's necessarily a really good thing for the long term. I mean, you have to look at things, you know, like there's criteria. Where are you at? Where are you right now with your life? Do you want to settle down into a long-term relationship? Is that what you're looking for? Are you looking to have some random flings, you know, like, and these are, I'm not saying either is bad or good or what have you.
It's just what you want. It's just what you need to know. So where would that fall in? Because we've got the who in terms of figuring out the likes and dislikes, all that sort of stuff. Would this fall under the what?
Yeah. What are you looking for and what is that person looking for? And do you have common ground? I think one of the best things I ever heard was I was talking to a family member and she was telling me about how she met a man who eventually became her husband and they've been together ever since. And what happened was they had common goals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They both want to move to the States and they want to start new. Okay. And that was the driving goal. And when that was just like an attraction switch, it was like a button they pushed on each other, which became a dream and became the reason why they ended up together. So you have to do that. You got to look at that. What are your goals? And then harmonizing those things. And then look at your values.
Mm-hmm.
What is this person's values? Judging the family, looking at their upbringing, looking at things like how much looking at beyond that too, as to, is this a good provider? Is this a good person? Is this somebody I want to get old with? Is it somebody who's growing as a human being? I'm really, like, I'll tell you some of the things that I look for.
Is that part of under the who again? Or what is that under? Or is that under what?
You know what?
Where does that fall under that five W's?
I think the five W's are pretty self-explanatory. I think people have done, like, enough essays.
Well, I don't know, because I'm not sure myself. I understand where they are in terms of literature if we're putting a piece together.
Well,
but
who is the person? So who are they? That's their identity.
Now, what do you want?
It can be career.
Mm-hmm.
And who are they in terms of a person in society, in the community?
Okay.
Who are they to you?
Mm-hmm.
Are they somebody who has high status, low status? Do you look up to them? Are they somebody who you aspire to be? And then if you look at what do they do for fun? What do they do for passion? What do they do for relaxing?
Okay.
These are all things.
What is the where?
What do they do to kick back? What do they do with their friends? Where do you find this person? Where do they hang out? Where do they work? Where do they shop?
It almost sounds like
we're
stalking someone.
Where do they socialize? You have to. If you want to do this right, you
got
to have a great plan.
Okay, so we've
got. Would
where?
You say that this would be one of the most important things you have to do in your life is finding a great mate?
Definitely.
To have kids with? I do. So why not take it seriously?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So we've got who, where, what, why. What is the why? Would that fall under, like, why because I want to get married and have children? Why because I want to have a fling today? Why because I want to have some.
Why do you want to be with this person? Why are you attracted to them? And is it for the right reasons?
Okay.
You know, and then how. How is a big one, because how, I know it's not one of the five W's, but how is important, because how are you going to meet this person? How are you going to attract them? You know, it's easy for me to say, oh, well, I want to go out and date supermodels only and strippers or whatever, like you were saying. But if I'm not attractive to them, then mm-hmm. how am I going to meet them, and how am I going to become attractive to them? You know?
Okay.
How do I position myself in circumstances that's going to allow this connection to happen and allow us to get to know it? And then not only from a meeting standpoint, but how am I actually going to form a bond, rapport, and develop a relationship with this person? Because this dating is like a video game. You could do everything right, but you do one thing wrong and bang, you're dead. You start at zero again.
That's true. I was actually going to say, even with the strippers and supermodels, there's that question too. Are you comfortable? Do you want to date somebody who actually works in town or somebody who's traveling? Because if you're a supermodel, they're traveling all around the world all the time. You know, they're watching their weight a lot of the time. So they're having to be on a really strict diet, which means, you know, going out and having like a calorie fest and watching a movie. It's not going to happen. Or just certain things like going out for fondue in France or something like that may not happen just because they can't eat it. So there's things, again, it goes back to value systems again, doesn't it? And seeing how that person really fits into your life. Like if you're the type of person who likes going to a pub every Thursday night, say, and hang out with your buddies watching the football game. Or is it football Mondays? You can tell I'm not a sports person. But
Monday Night Football,
all right. So if it's that, somebody who's into that, who maybe doesn't like to just sit around and watching hockey on television, may not be the best type for somebody who always likes going out to fashion shows all the time, unless there's some common ground where you can agree on and compromise a little
Check
bit.
Check your horoscopes. For compatibility, it's a good thing to do.
Are you really into that, Dan?
You know what? It's really funny, actually, because every time I meet somebody, my sister's always like, when was she born? What day? What hour? And I talk with her and I'm like, okay, well, I tell her and she's like, oh, that's not going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you need to do this and you're not going to get along because of this. And she's sedentary and you're like very active and you're adventurous. She's not, you know, I just get a reading. But you know, the funny thing is I had a friend of mine who read me the sexual horoscope.
Really?
Yes.
Who's that by?
It was scary. It was so scary. It was like this one time I was at this girl's place and she started reading my name to me about the meaning of my name and who I am and how I am. And it had me pinned down so well.
Really?
I freaked. I said, okay, can you do me a favor? She's like, I'm like, stop, stop, stop. She's like, what? I go, stop reading.
Mm-hmm.
That's too scary. It's freaking. She's like, why? She goes, is it wrong? I'm like, I'm not saying. She's like, it is. She had a big celebration because she's trying to figure me out. So
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely good. How would you recommend in terms of talking to your partner to establish these goals when you're actually meeting somebody, getting to know them? I know there's some listening exercise that Harville Hendrix has, but that's usually once you're a little bit further along in the relationship and maybe you've been there for 5 or 6 months. One of the biggest things I hear from a lot of my friends who call me for advice in terms of dating is just he doesn't listen to me. And I get the same thing with my guy friends too, which she never hears anything I say. And it's interesting. There's a difference between listening and hearing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. There's actually a wonderful exercise in his book where it's basically you repeat what that person said to you. Like, Dan, just say something to me. Same thing.
Caroline, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen.
Oh, I like
that.
They
are like flowers blossoming in huge blooms in the springtime.
You think my eyes are the most beautiful eyes that you've ever seen? Thank you, Dan. I really like the fact that you like that about me, where I'm basically taking your words and I'm owning it. So then that way you hear your words reflected back. And then that way, a lot of times when people hear that, they start, you know, you're actually taking it in on a different level. Harville had that in one of his books in terms of, it's called The Listening Exercise. And interestingly, Sanford Meisner, who is one of the best acting teachers who used to be around, he's dead now, had that as one of the exercises you use for a script where you actually have one actor say one line,
sure.
You repeat the line, and then you incorporate your response.
I've got a really easy solution for everybody listening tonight in terms of communication. And you know, when I meet a woman, the first thing I can always tell when women are starved for communication, and because they want to sit down and talk to me for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
We love talking.
And it's really funny. I can just tell every single time, and I can pinpoint, I say, you're having trouble in your relationship right now with communication, aren't you? And they say, yep, I am. And I look at it and I say, you know, one of the exercises that you could do, which would be very, very good, is sitting down when you come home at the end of the day and taking 10 minutes and talking with each other. So if you did that, what would end up happening is, first of all, as a guy, you need to listen. When you get home from work, and I know the girl is going to be right there on you. How was your day? What was it? Blah, blah, blah. This happened. The only thing you want to do is walk in, have complete peace and silence, turn on the TV, and relax with maybe a beer or a kickback or just do something other than talk. Listen. Don't talk. Just ask and be proactive about it. How was your day? Let your girlfriend talk for at least 10 to 20 minutes. Then she will ask you, how was your day? You keep it brief. This and this happened. And you ask her a couple other things about her day, and that's it. And that is a download, and you have to do that. You do that for your friends if you call them. You do that for your mate and your spouse because you care about them. Not because you want to do it, but because they need that to happen. And if you do that, what ends up happening is you clear the slate. It zeroes any anxieties, any frustrations. It empties that tank, basically. It's like taking out the garbage. It's done. And it cleans the slate. Now you can get on with your day, and there's not a bunch of disharmony. There's not a bunch of chaos. There's not a bunch of fighting, arguing, bad energy, bad vibes, anxieties that are coming around. You kind of feng shui each other, okay? And that's what I'd recommend. You just do that every day. Make it a habit. How was your day? And the best relationships that I've had, both with men and women, particularly with friends, guys that I'm really good friends with, that I'm close with, have always been about communication. And you know what? I want to communicate with them, and I want to be a good friend to them. And when you are on that level where you want to share news with them, you want them to get excited, and you have that great connection, it's irreplaceable. I love it. I love it. You know, it's a wonderful feeling to have.
And really, really watch their body language as well in terms of cues. Because some people don't like to talk right away after work. There's actually a great episode of Sex and the City where after Carrie, I think it was in season 4, where she moves in with Aiden. And as soon as she comes home from there, he's like, how are you? How was your day? How's it going? And she's like, ah, because for Carrie, she actually liked having silence for that first half an hour. So really listen to your mate and see. I think a lot of women do like being talked to, but for Carrie, it was a little different. And I think there are some women like that too. And just watch the body language. How do they react when you ask them those questions? Are they kind of somebody who needs, you know, 20 minutes just to chill out, have a glass of wine, a beer, or something like that, and just rest? Or, you know, they need to go and have a shower just to wash the day off? What is that at the end of the day? Do they need that before? Or is it a rejoicing every time you see, like how Dan's describing, in terms of just that, hey, honey, I'm home, you know, or having sex every time you come home? So for some people, that's very, very important because it kind of reestablishes that reconnect. And I'm trying to remember which, I think it was the Vancouver Sun, the stats, and I can't remember if it's through Cast Stats Canada. I'll have to double check our old previous podcast. Julie and I did a show on that before. But it was where a lot of people use sex as a way to relax. So sometimes sex right off the bat is really good for men and women as soon as you walk through the door. But because that is a different way of communication. There's so many different ways to communicate. There's verbal, as Dan's describing, which through that you also pick up on body language as well. There's also the physical, whereas for women, having sex is saying that basically when you wanted to have sex with them, even if they're like, oh, not right now or whatever, it's kind of nice actually, where it's like, you desire me, you love me, you know, because for women, love equals sex, whereas for guys, it varies. It really does, depending on the relationship. So it's pretty special. There's so many different ways to communicate. Well, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We're going to be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Hans Klaas is going to be on next. Our wonderful Marian Hans Klaas's Misery Hour, which he is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. And I am looking forward to that in a very, very sexy way. He hasn't shown up yet in terms of with his shoes, which, Dan, I don't know if you've seen his shoes and recognized them from the last couple times that you've been here.
Guy's a rock star.
He is a rock star with that sexy hair and those shoes. He's pretty absolutely amazing, and I can't wait to see what he's got in store for us tonight.
So just to recap, what do you feel the listeners should do if they are starting out from scratch? They've never had a criteria list. They want to get out there and date. They want to find somebody special. Where do they start? What should they do immediately? And the big thing is about taking action. So let's say they have a pen and a paper. Go grab a pen and a paper right now. What should they write down? And what should they take out of this show?
What they should write down is, first of all, what I want. And put down their likes and dislikes list. The who am I, just a lot of qualities in terms of what describes who they are. The what do I want? Do I want a long-term relationship? Do I want somebody special? What exactly does a long-term relationship mean? What does marriage mean? What is happily ever after to you? Because that's going to be different for you than it is for me and each one of us out there. All that kind of stuff. Where do I go to find it? Do I go to the hockey rink because I'm seeing somebody absolutely sexy? Or am I going to be going to a really nice gala one night? You know, you don't know. So you want to write all those things down. Start planning. You know, I mean, you can't start anything unless you have a roadmap. So start with that. And listeners, if you are out there and you are in a relationship that you aren't happy, try with Harville Hendrick's book. I really, really recommend, grab a copy of it, take a look at it. He's got quite a few wonderful books, but How to Get the Love You Need, How to Get the Love You Want, look at that. Take a look. Look at the exercise in that. I highly recommend that. I've got several friends who are therapists, actually, who do recommend that book, even to single people. So those would be the things I'd recommend. Put that on your checklist. If you've been a naughty person, maybe Santa won't bring it to you. If you've been a really good, nice person.
Couple real, real quick things, social cues. Smile. Smile. Make eye contact and put yourself out there. Hey, maybe people don't like you. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's the ones that do like you. And if you don't take the opportunity to actually introduce yourself and put yourself out there, you might be missing those opportunities. The final thing that I want to say was about forgiveness and giving. You know, we live
perfect
in a world where,
we
live in a world where, you know, everybody wants something for nothing and they expect people to give and they expect people to be friends with them. You know what? If you want to be a good friend, and you want friends, be a good friend first. You know?
That's so true. And thank you so much. And thank you, Danny Six. You have been absolutely fantastic being on the show tonight. And speaking of true friendship, I love you. Thank you for
love
being
you
my
too,
friend,
darling.
And
always
everybody,
and forever.
Thank you, baby. And we'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And Ms. Julia will be back. And wherever she is tonight, I hope the Christmas elves haven't dragged her away.
Julia
unless it's
J.
to a very, very, very sexy space.
Peace and love to everyone.
Have and we Merry will have a very Merry Christmas. And we will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to get into it.